So I want to open it up to questions from the audience, if anybody has any, and if not, I'll.
Diana Dixon Whitmer, Delaware. I have a question about a palpable node on physical exam. In Z11, we were instructed to exclude only patients who had fixed and matted nodes on physical exam. We were not instructed to exclude the patient, particularly thin patients, will have nodes that you can feel, but they're mobile, not fixed, not suspicious. And we all have had the patient that had a node that we felt that was not fixed, and it was sarcoid, or it was something other than breast cancer, or that had that node positive, but no additional nodes positive, or fewer than three positive. So I'm interested to hear how all four of you, or all five of you, feel about the patient who has something you feel in the axilla, but it's not suspicious on physical exam.
I mean, I personally, if something is suspicious, I would stick a needle in it. I think that's the answer. I think that when Dr. Smith was talking about automatically dissecting patients with a palpable node, I think she was, and you, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you were talking about patients with suspicious palpable nodes, not those that you think are reactive from the core biopsy. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
No, but that's correct. So I think the... if there's many nodes we can feel that you would certainly ignore as being potentially reactive, give the patient the benefit of the doubt. But if you have these hard, there's some nodes when you examine them, you know they're positive, or your suspicion is so high, there's multiple nodes. But it is, if you're uncertain and exam isn't perfect, getting a needle biopsy can be helpful in those patients and confirm that you want to either think about neoadjuvant therapy for them or potentially go right to dissection.
Thank you for that clarification. An excellent panel.
Good afternoon. Omar Felix. I'd like to ask a question for the entire panel. How would you manage the axilla in a patient with Paget's disease with no imaging, no underlying tumor on mammogram, ultrasound, MRI? How would you treat the axilla?
Any go down the line, Melissa? Why don't you start, and then
sure.
We'll...
I would say, if this is on, I manage the axilla according to the pathology in the breast. So if it's Paget's alone and there's no invasive cancer that you found, for lumpectomy patients, I would proceed with that and use the final pathology to dictate if a sentinel node is warranted. If they're having a mastectomy, I would do a sentinel node at the same time.
All right.
Thank you. I agree. I treat it as DCIS until proven otherwise.
And okay, and if you have a failed mapping at the time, if the plan is to do a mastectomy and say a skin sparing mastectomy, or and you do the sentinel node at the time, but you have failed mapping, would you go on to an axillary dissection, or because it's Paget's, just what would you do in that case?
I think personally, again, treating this like DCIS, I would wait and get the final pathology from the breast and see if there's a reason to go back.
I agree.
I agree, I'd wait, although we know in Paget's that there is a much higher rate of finding invasive breast cancer, and when you do, it often ends up being node positive, but I would agree with the panelists that wait for final pathology.
And I think I've found certainly in my practice over the last 10 or 15 years that Paget's disease is presenting earlier and earlier. I think patients are more aware, so you don't get these, you know, the whole areola is gone anymore. It's this little subtle thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in many of those patients have nothing but what's in the
And so if the pathology doesn't comes back with no invasive tumor, you wouldn't proceed you wouldn't go back and do an axillary.
No.
So I think the reason we do sentinel nodes during mastectomies is to avoid a dissection,
right,
if you find occult disease in the breast. But to do an automatic dissection when you might not need to, I think is over treating.
This is more like a long-winded comment than a question. So there's a couple things. I think overall the algorithms is very similar to what we use. So thank you for validating what we do. But I do have a couple of red flags that I want to highlight. When we talk about Z11, I think it is pretty much settled that overall the biology was less aggressive, and therefore not doing too much in the axilla was the right thing to do. But it's often mentioned, it was mentioned today as well, that the tangents that were adjusted in the audit showed up to 50% of cases, that because that cheating, if you will, I tell my radiation oncologist that they cheated, so that because that cheating was equally distributed in both arms, therefore the impact is not what we expect. And I think that's a misunderstanding, because if equal number of patients, up to half in both arms, got high tangents, then it started to look more like Amaro's trial than Z11. Because if the question was non-treatment of axilla is not inferior, then I don't know that we can say that it probably was answered if we admit the fact that the tangents were adjusted much more often than the trial protocol allowed. So I think it's important that because that cheating was equally distributed both arms, it doesn't make it okay. That's one thing. The second, I'll jump onto the 1071. I think there was a little bit of a conflicting in between the three nodes post neoadjuvant because that seemed to stir towards a low false negative rate. Now, I've attended many a tumor boards to tell you that it is becoming more and more common that to get that higher number of nodes, people are doing a little bit more extensive than a sentinel node in order to get a higher count, and that may not necessarily be the sentinel node. So I agree that when Dr. Smith emphasized that you don't want to just start cherry-picking nodes because you had only one hot and blue node. But I think in my observation as a surveyor, when we survey programs, that I'm seeing that more and more often. So that's a second caution. And the third point I was going to make is the one thing important to remember about Centina is that they didn't require node-positive biopsy-proven diseases, so, and even their false negative rate post-neoadjuvant was very high. So I think that there are things that are still not as settled as we would like them to be. In overall picture, to your point, the last point about when can we avoid, I think it was a good idea. It still is to avoid axilla dissection where we can because of all the morbidity. But on one hand, the morbidity of sentinel node is lower, but not zero. I do think there is a small percentage of very low-risk group that doesn't need probably anything. Like a 75-year-old grandma with 9-millimeter ER-positive tumor should probably have nothing. And so I think that we're overdoing sentinel node in some areas where we could choose to do nothing, and we still maybe underdoing dissections in some places that we probably shouldn't. Thank you for tolerating that.
So, and just, they're like incredibly salient points. I mean, obviously you know the trials very well. I mean, I think the two things, one is, I hope that people in the room are familiar with the Society for Surgical Oncology statement on choosing wisely, which is for women over 70 who are ER positive, clinically node negative, to think about avoiding a sentinel lymph node biopsy in those patients, as it doesn't change local recurrence, nor does it change overall survival and probably not treatment recommendations, as most of those women will not be getting chemotherapy anyway. So that is an excellent point. And although your points on the Z11 and ACOSOG 1071 are also very interesting and also helpful, I think it's always important to remember that the recurrence rate in the axilla was less than 1% or approximately 1% no matter what we did. And so we can argue about high tangents, we can argue about some patients who probably didn't get any radiation at all in some of those reviews, but that the overall recurrence rate was actually incredibly low. I mean, but some got none. You know, some people got no radiation, somebody got high tangents, and some people got the prescribed. And so there is this smattering across the board, equal in both groups.
And I've asked my radiation oncologists about this, and I think what they probably try to do now, seeing what they know from the trials, is that they adjust their tangent radiation to cover the axilla level 1 and 2 pretty well if they have a positive node and we haven't dissected. So I think the, you know, whether you, I wouldn't call that cheating anymore. And, you know, the trial sort of set arbitrary rules. And I think that in practice, people said those don't make sense. So we're going to do what does make sense. But I think that's what you want your radiation to cover the axilla. And a number of trials over the years have said that's really great for low volume disease and less morbid than us dissecting.
I I was just going to add that this was also reviewed from the population at Sloan Kettering of node positive patients who were treated with a sentinel node biopsy alone. In the most recent publication by Dr. Morrow, 20% of women, when they went back retrospectively to look at radiation fields, had nodal radiation. No difference in regional failure by women who did or did not receive it. And to date, there are still no isolated regional failures in the population.
And we have one bit of data we presented as an abstract, but not as a not written up yet, where we looked at women who had mastectomies with negative sentinel nodes. So we patients were getting no radiation and had mastectomies, and their axillary failure rate's extraordinarily low. So a negative sentinel node is really reliable with current technology. You don't have to add anything else for those patients.
Quickly. So if you have someone who has clinically negative axilla, however you want to define that, and they've got a tumor that's too big to do breast conservation, and so you're going to do neoadjuvant chemotherapy to make them. When do you do a pre-op sentinel node biopsy? No. You only do it after the neoadjuvant.
Okay. And I think there were some trials that came out when we started to do sentinel lymph node biopsies after neoadjuvant chemotherapy, and they compared whether it was accurate or not, and they were all found to be incredibly accurate in terms of false negative, false positives. And so I think most of us have transitioned into doing the sentinel lymph node biopsy after neoadjuvant chemotherapy. I mean, I think, you know, if you test a node up front, you know, clinically positive, test it, that's a different patient. But a clinically negative patient who gets neoadjuvant chemotherapy, I think most of us do it after neoadjuvant.
Yeah, I think that there's two main benefits. One is that you avoid a second operation, but you, by doing it up front, will avoid the opportunity to downstage their axilla and avoid the dissection. And we can't repeat a sentinel node biopsy again after chemotherapy because it's just not accurate. The false negative rate is far too high.
Well, the surgeons are with y'all. The medical oncologists want us to do it pre-neoadjuvant.
I mean, if you're talking about a large tumor and the medical oncologist wants to know if the axilla is positive or not, because it could either give them neoadjuvant chemo, I mean, if you're going to give neoadjuvant chemotherapy, it could change their regimen, ultrasound and stick a needle in it and see what happens.
Okay. I'm including in the clinically negative ultrasound negative. Yeah.
Yes.
Purely you think they don't have mets for whatever reason you want to do it and just downstage their tumor to make them a breast conservation candidate. So would you do a neoadjuvant, would you do a sentinel lymph node biopsy pre-neoadjuvant?
No.
No.
Okay. Still there with the big benefit of potentially downstaging microscopic disease that we don't know about.
Right.
And then avoiding a dissection when that's negative.
Right. Any other questions?
One of the things I wonder about often now in light of following similar scenarios that you all have presented is, in like the Z1011 study, one of the big things we learned is that a large proportion of women who had one or two positive nodes didn't have any other positive nodes in the axilla. So in the node positive patients that you downstage, clinically node positive patients, you downstage them neoadjuvantly, you do a post-chemotherapy sentinel node following Z1071. So wiring the biopsy node, using two dyes, recovering three nodes, and then fitting them into that, then, and this is anecdotal in my case, but I seem to be finding that a fair percentage of those women, if I have positive nodes in that scenario and do the node dissection, those were their own positive, were their only positive nodes. So in that percentage of women, they're getting the risk of the node dissection, but no benefit. But I'm doing it in those scenarios because, you know, I'm trying to find, you know, follow the data that we actually have. Is someone looking at that, or what are your thoughts about that?
The Alliance trial.
Yeah. Well, and this was recently looked at by Dr. Tracy Ann Mu in our group, looking to see if you had a positive sentinel node after neoadjuvant chemo with either micrometastatic or macrometastatic in one node, what was the likelihood of having additional positive nodes at dissection? And the rate was 60%, regardless of nodal deposit size. So definitely high enough that I think it supports the completion dissection right now. And the concern is that this could be chemo-resistant disease that we're leaving behind.
And
correct.
No. And there, yeah, that's what the trial is addressing, taking patients like that and randomizing them to dissection plus radiation or radiation alone. Yeah.
That'll be very important.
Any other questions? So,
thank you. Many of the patients who get neoadjuvant chemotherapy also have imaging with MRI after neoadjuvant chemotherapy, mostly with MRI. So when the rates of 16% of positive additional disease after sentinel lymph node disease are coded, has anyone looked at the response to the primary tumor in the breast on imaging versus the response in the lymph nodes on imaging? If that can be a window into letting us know whether there's residual disease in the axilla.
Yeah, so there's a study that looked at the ability of MRI to predict both in breast and nodal response, and for the nodes, it was very poor. I don't remember off the top of my head what the number was.
It was like lower than 50%.
Yeah,
it was really
just
low.
Showing that imaging alone with ultrasound, which we saw, or MRI is not sufficient to identify those women who have a nodal complete response.
That are either positive or negative.
Right.
Errors both ways, yeah. So we need something else.
Okay, so then let's, any other questions? So why don't we just review the scenarios that Tina presented in the beginning. So the first case discussion was the patient who had, I can put it up on the screen.
As people are starting to leave, I've been asked to announce that if you needed your badge scanned before you came into the session and it didn't happen, you can do it on your way out.
All right, so the first case, if I can't open it, is going to be the patient with the 3-centimeter tumor, clinically negative axilla, who ends up having a sentinel lymph node biopsy with 1 macromet and 2 negative mets and a lumpectomy. Dissect or not dissect? No, right? That's the 10-7, that's the Z11 patient. What about the patient who has a mastectomy with a macromet and 2 negative nodes? Dissect? Right, in this current age, we still dissect with the caveat probably that you want to speak to your radiation oncologists, right? So if that patient is going to get post-mastectomy radiation with 1 or 2 positive sentinel nodes, you may want to think about not doing an axillary dissection to spare her the morbidity of both modalities. If they're not going to radiate, then you should probably dissect that patient because the axilla needs to be treated. So you don't want to subject somebody to axillary radiation just because you're not going to do the dissection.
And to clarify, if it's a mastectomy and 1 micromet?
No, we don't dissect for a micromet.
Dissect, right.
Okay, so then the neoadjuvant patient. So if a neoadjuvant patient has a clinically negative node after chemotherapy and goes to the OR and you get a positive sentinel node, you dissect, and that's isolated tumor cells, macromet or micromet? Yes, in this current day and age, or put them on a trial, something like the Alliance trial. And if they convert to clinically node negative, you don't have to dissect. There is also a trial that's open that's randomizing these patients to radiation versus no radiation, so you want to consider that as well. So I want to thank the panel so much. This was an incredible discussion on a very complicated topic.